And I'm a member of New Yorkers for Wired Tech. The community board must use its authority over zoning and siting telecommunications facilities to protect the many people who are seriously harmed by the radiation emitted from these installations. The board should pass a resolution opposing the rollout of New York City Link kiosks without the environmental and historical preservation reviews required. The Federal Communications Commission has sent a letter requesting this. There are currently bills in Congress to limit and essentially take away your power to regulate zoning and siting of these facilities. Yes. Under the Telecommunications Act, you currently have the authority. City Council should enact a zoning and siting act to more easily defend these zoning decisions. A model zoning statute was passed in Woodstock, New York.
I'm dying on Woodstock. I won't be able to get my 5G.
But whether, Mr. Gore, if you can, you have copies of any legislation introduced in Congress, you would send them on to the board office.
I don't know that you were able to be heard.
You might have to speak in the microphone.
Maybe somebody.
You'll need to come up to one of the
mics. Mr. Gore, thank you. I wonder if you would have
mic.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I okay?
I got you.
What we need is 5G, though.
Are you still there,
Mr. Gore? Yes, I am. Could you send, if you have copies of any legislation that's pending in Congress?
I don't have copies of them with me, only some of those bills are H.R. 3557 and H.R. 4441, and I believe it would be a good idea to contact Congressman Nadler, who has stood up for our right to make these zoning and siting decisions, which are trying to be taken away because we have been so successful throughout the city in raising objections to a lot of these installations. A lot of people are becoming more and more electrically sensitive as the power of wireless technology keeps on getting greater and greater. More and more people are drawn into the electric
category. Whether you have copies of the legislation?
I don't have copies of them with me, only I'm sure that they are available online, and two of the bills are H.R. 3551 and 4171.
We'd like to respect the time of our elected officials who are here and allow them to speak next. And maybe Linda Rosenthal, if you would come to a mic, please.
Hi, everyone. So good to see everybody's face. I mean, we've seen each other's face in that Brady Bunch picture box, but it's good to see all of you in person, and hopefully this will continue without having to suspend operations as happens. So, thank you. So before this session ended in June, which feels like yesterday and decades ago, the Assembly and the Senate convened a work to discuss housing. And so, you know, as chair of the Housing Committee, I was on it, and then colleagues on both from the Senate as well. And so, the working group proposed one big bill, which was to extend 421A to certain developments, extend new protections to market rate tenants, raising the individual apartment improvement cap, do commercial to residential conversions, dilapidated apartment repair program, and the creation of local affordable housing plans. You recall in the budget, a lot of places like in Long Island and others didn't want to accommodate or allow the building of new units. So we turned it on them and they said, okay, fine, you create a plan for your area. Unfortunately, it didn't move. Governor caught wind of it and decided that we shouldn't go there. So we haven't gone there, but we will go there starting in January, because there are many, many needs that need to be accommodated for the city, for the rest of the state, for people with affordable housing issues. And, you know, I get calls and emails all the time about long-term Upper West Siders and Lower West Siders who can't afford to stay here anymore because of the rent skyrocket. So, you know, we're gonna go forward with that. You know, many people who would qualify for a one-shot deal are denied because there's often not enough staff at HPD to process these requests. This would save people. You know, you're behind on the rent, you need $3,000, $4,000. The city will pay it, and then you will pay going forward. You know, if you have no means of paying it in the future, you won't get one. But if you do, and a lot of people, you know, go in and out of unemployment, whatever, they will pay going forward. But if they can't meet the current bill, they're probably going to be evicted. So one of the bills that I passed has a whole bunch of different sections. I'll go quickly. One is Frankensteining, which is you combine two units where one was regulated, used to be able to take the rent-regulated apartment out of rent regulation, which is why part of the reason many rent-regulated units are vacant. So this would change how that happens. The newly formed apartment must stay regulated. Substantial rehabilitation. I don't know if a lot of you have heard about this lately, but this most often happens when buildings are bought by new owners, and they discover that 50 years ago, they did some rehab. 75% of the systems in the building were rehabilitated. You are allowed to take it out of rent regulation if there's been substantial rehabilitation. But it's been 50 years since it was done, and the old landlord never did it, but the new one comes in, it's like, here's the way to get units out of rent regulation. So we address that in the bill, making landlords have to apply, and DHCR gets to rule on them. But we have quite a few cases where a new landlord's like, get out, because we can do this. But I think something rehabbed 40 years ago, it's probably not up to date anymore. But because there's no law around that issue. So we hopefully fix that. And there's a lot more, but those are two of the key points. I recently introduced a bill that would ban insurance companies from refusing to issue or increase insurance premiums to landlords who accept housing vouchers. So this is a big problem. It's against the law for a landlord to turn down a tenant who pays through housing vouchers. It still happens, but it is against the law. But it's not against the law for insurance companies to use those same criteria to not insure buildings. So I have some legislation on that. I have a bunch of bills about AI. And AI is going to take over the world if we don't stop it. And as usual, technology is far ahead of laws. So I have a whole bunch of AI bills concerning jobs, things like that. All right, and also this is pertinent to the SAG-AFTRA strike, requires disclosure on ads and other commercial uses of deep fakes. Now that is one of, so I had the bill, it was sailing along, all of a sudden at the end of the session we get a memo against it from the Motion Picture Association. And they're the ones now who are fighting with SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild because they want to use deepfakes. They want to, they, it's part of the whole fight. So hopefully next year my legislation. Banning PFAs and menstrual products. Tomorrow the commissioner of SUNY is, or the education commissioner, he's going to announce that $1 million of the amount that we put in the budget will go toward fighting student hunger on its campuses. So I have legislation on that, got some money in the assembly part of the budget, and he's going to announce it. So I'm working together with SUNY, and I also got money for John Jay. They already have a pantry, which is really good, but they need, everyone needs more because students are going hungry. Unbelievable, but they are. Okay, so everyone's favorite event is that. Yeah, everyone's favorite event, Shred Day. You know, the minute that day ends, we get calls. When's your next one? So the next one is October 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a Sunday. Front of my office. I have some flyers back there. I have a lot more to say, but I understand time is short. So I thank you for listening and know how to reach me if you have questions or concerns. So thanks a lot. Thank you.
Hello. I'd like to call on Gail Brewer.
Thank you very much. Great to be in person. I want to talk a little bit about the HERCS and what's going on with the migrants on the Upper West Side. So you know that on 70th Street, there is the Stratford Arms, a lot of controversy sometimes between the residents and the block that we've been supporting and trying to make sure that people are safe and that issues are addressed. So tomorrow, the block on 70th Street will be closed. These are things you learn by paying attention, not that you get calls that they're happening. Their block will be closed for 3 days because the 500 individuals there are moving to Randall's Island. And same on West 85th Street. For those of you who know, those are two buildings that have had adults. And then moving into both of them will be on Monday, families and children. There are a lot of issues. I would like to suggest that the Department of Health and H&H, Health and Hospitals, which runs these two buildings, work when the families come in immediately with all the services they need and not wait until weeks to get services. So we're trying really hard to do that. And I guess somehow they'll get kids into the schools. I'd ask at this time.
And shut this off.
So that is happening, and still that you know. We've done a lot, have immigration groups there, police have been there at certain times. It's been very challenging, and I would like to hope that it'll work out. So that's number one. Number two is that the mayor, as you know, I don't know that he's advertised. I think we've done all the advertising along with Community Board 7 and other groups. He's having a community conversation on the Upper West Side on September 6th, which is tomorrow, 6 o'clock at PS 191. And I think you all know to RSVPCAU at cityhall.nyc.gov. The maximum it holds is 300. I said, Mr. Mayor, there may well be more people. What are you going to do if there are more people? I did not get an answer. Graffiti survey, we have, thanks to some people here who have correctly made what's with the graffiti. So we sent out interns and staff, and we will be releasing next week the many, many sites, and then we'll work with the Department of Sanitation and other agencies and the post office, which never seems to clean the mailboxes, to try to get rid of the graffiti. I have tons of calls, as Linda and others in the community, about e-bikes, et cetera, and I heard people talking about it earlier. So thanks to Board 7. We're just gonna have a small meeting on Friday to talk with all the stakeholders to say, what are we going to do about this together? Because I can't see any actual resolutions coming out of any other place. We did mention it with the mayor when we met state and city officials some months ago. I met Zoom with the different city agencies, and I still don't see any resolution despite a lot of discussion. So we're going to see if we can make some changes. I will say there are some ideas about new ways of dealing with batteries that are happening in Brooklyn that we should look for here on the west side. We're also doing a resolution of some of the state bills that exist. I don't know that we can do licensing on the local level. Some think we can, I don't think we can, but just so you know, this is all to be discussed. Also, DEP is installing two new noise cameras on the Upper West Side. It was my request that they're doing this. I don't know where, that's fine, although I'm sure somebody will find out. They want to keep it private so people don't turn down the noise, be it the horn or the muffler or whatever, when they're going by. I know 96th Street and Broadway is a particularly noisy spot. We're still fighting to keep West Park Presbyterian Church. I know there may be a difference of opinion, but I have to say, Debbie Hirschman, who is the head now of the center there, is doing a great job. She was the one who founded JCC, and she knows how to raise money, and she's fabulous. So I hope that she's successful. We're all working with her. And I want to say we've been all working during the summer with NYCHA, particularly at Amsterdam Houses. But just to give you, we have money, thanks to, for young people and for programs, and the center's been open 7 days a week, which is a good thing. But there are 40 vacant apartments just at Amsterdam Houses alone, 6,900 citywide. So nothing wrong with it. That's an example. Legislation, as you know, the new regulations for Airbnb go into effect today. Of course, they're quite controversial for smaller buildings, so we're paying attention to that, see where it ends up. I think there are people in this room who know more about outdoor dining than I do, but it's certainly, I voted for the bill. I think we know that restaurants will be allowed to continue to offer dining in the roadways, pay more under a new licensing system, but they have to be removed during the winter and in the spring. I spent a lot of time measuring these sheds myself, and there'll be costs. I assume there'll be fewer of them. I want to talk about something, a bill that I just passed, very nuanced, but something I care about. When you look up at the sign, co-sign on the street, you have no idea who some of these people are. But my bill, which took me, I don't know, 15 years to pass. Now the Department of Records and Information Systems, which is really the city's municipal library, local law 104 of 2023 makes them the biological information. I know you talked about this because Gail Talbert has been very supportive of a local resident. But guess what? It includes street, park names, building names, everything has to be up on their website. So it's really exciting that that's going to be taking place starting July 24. Also, tomorrow we're going to hear a bill that I introduced because, believe it or not, we have 65, 63 unlicensed cannabis retailers just on the Upper West Side. And yet when you call 311, you're told to send an email about this issue to the state. That's not going to happen. Nobody does. So we have a bill that says 311 must have a category for unlicensed cannabis retailers. I can't say we can get rid of them that easily because I've tried, but at least you'll have some kind of a database. Oversight, I hit the Committee on Oversight and Investigations. We had a hearing on air quality. We have one coming up on the DOT streets plan and the big one, contracts pertaining to migrant services. That'll be a big hearing coming up very, very soon this month. And of course, ongoing discussion on vacant stores. I don't want to go through in the back. I have a whole listing, but we continue our Fresh Food for Seniors. We continue our housing clinics. We are doing the playground on 92nd Street. We're doing the free bicycle helmet fitting. We are doing also appointments for the American-Italian mammogram bus. We are doing an older adult tech clinic again in St. Agnes. We are doing a housing preservation development bus outside our district office. And we are doing e-waste recycling at JCC, very popular with Lower East Side Ecology Center. We're doing two RAT Academy trainings. We're doing lots of work on MTA reduced fare Omni cards for seniors. We're doing another pop-up at St. Agnes, and we're doing a book fair for children, very successful, at JCC, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Council Member. So let us return to the community session and those who have signed up to speak.
Okay, I think Alex is going to announce who's next. It looks like Sue Peters, but I'll leave it to Alex.
Yes, it is Sue Peters.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, great, thank you. I want to build on a request from Arnold Gore about the board paying attention to the jumbo cell phone, cell towers, wireless 5G that are being put on our city sidewalks. You know, wireless is very similar to what happened when our government and our industry failed to remind the public about the issue of cigarettes. For 20 years they didn't, and they knew it caused cancer. Also, asbestos and lead paint, our government failed to warn us. Cell phones, every instruction that you get with a cell phone, the little booklet, tiny, tiny little print, in it, every one of them says, do not put next to your body, yet look around you. Nobody is aware of that. Why not? I'm in Riverside Park. I see a 16-year-old girl. She has her cell phone. She takes it, she puts it in her pants next to her bare skin, right above her ovaries. She's not being warned. What is going on? Where are the warnings? Or I've seen women put it right inside their bra, with above their breasts. Why aren't people not being warned? The information is there. So many people are using the earbuds. Well, there are studies that show that on a long-term basis, that is going to affect your hearing. Please use your freedom to seek information and inform yourself of the evidence. I'll put links in the Q&A, and hopefully they can be distributed to the board. Please pay attention. You're not being warned. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next, we have Maxine DeSeda. Okay, I don't think Maxine is here. Next, we have Herb Alter. Okay, Herb is not here as well. So next, we'll move on to Brenda McTire. Okay, I don't see Brenda here as well. Next, we have Shelby Grayson. Okay, Shelby is not here as well. Next, we have Nicole Paytner.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just want to take a minute or two, I forget the time limit, to let everyone know that the Columbus Avenue Open Streets has returned. We just launched